Good afternoon, everyone. I want to get us moving today because we clearly want to hear from our wonderful, wonderful guest speaker today. I'm Kurt Dillard, the chairman of the RTA, and I'm filling in for Dan Gibbons today, who unfortunately had a death in the family. He said it's transit-related today. Kirk, will you fill in with me? You know the drill of the club. So, longtime member of the club, and thank you all for being here today. I want to acknowledge there's one board member here from the City Club, Rosa Escareno. Rosa, welcome, my friend. It's good to see you. And I want to thank today's sponsors. As Dan says, thank those sponsors. They're critical. So thank you, sponsors, very much. Ardmore Roderick Clayco. You can go ahead and applaud. Go ahead. Comprehensive Construction Consulting, Inc., EXP, Cozen O'Connor Public Strategies, they're everywhere, HNTB Corporation, SDI Presence, Stiefel is here, Omar Dagestani, I think, and you'll see in the near future, has asked me to be a member. He's the president of the City Club, so I will join the board of the City Club sometime soon, thanks to his arm twisting. But Stiefel, great sponsor, and thank you for letting us have Omar all the time here to be the head of this club for a while. White & Company, a standard here at the City Club. FH Passion and SN Nielsen, thank you so much. Tom Cross is here, I know, who's doing some work. Former leader Cross of the Illinois House is here for Passion. HDR has a half a table here. Thank you. RM Chin and Associates, thank you for your sponsorship. Let's hear it for them. The RTA, my group of folks over here, we have a table as well. So thank you, Leanne Redden, for putting that together for us. And SQN Associates, thank you for your sponsorship. It's my pleasure to introduce a gentleman who will introduce Nora. And it is Dr. Adam Green from the University of Chicago. Dr. Green is a professor in the Department of Race, Diaspora, and this one's hard to say, Indigeneity, and also, and I looked those up, all of them, doctor, so I could know exactly what they all are, and also history at the University of Chicago. Dr. Adam Green has an amazing background. For those of you who have LinkedIn, look it up or look it up through the University of Chicago. But he's also held faculty appointments, very importantly, at Northwestern University and New York University. He's familiar with New York, and Nora will tell you, in the transit business, we look at other major cities constantly as to what they're doing for ideas. So, Dr. Green, as you know, transit is an economic equalizer. Where transit goes, communities grow, a 4-to-1 return on investment. And without further ado, please welcome Dr. Adam Green from the University of Chicago.
Good afternoon. Thank you for that kind introduction, and let me go right into it. I first met acting CTA President Nora Learson at the University of Chicago 20 years ago when she was a master's student. A class of mine, which she had joined, was an interesting experiment. I am the son of Ernest Green, who is the oldest of the 9 students to take part in the desegregation of Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, in 1957-1958. Following the 50th anniversary of the Central High struggle, I organized a class on the Little Rock saga, which included a trip to that city, visits to historic sites, meetings with members of the 9, journalists, legal professionals, and even some architects of the white massive resistance that faced the students that year. President Learson has said to me that her experience in that class reinforced values for her of equity, justice, and the potential for positive change in the structures of society that she's carried on through her subsequent life and work. I begin with this story not only because it affirms a meaningful friendship that President Learson and I share. It reveals how those same values shape her leadership of the Chicago Transit Authority since she started in her position of leadership last year. From my vantage point, she approaches her work rooted in three core principles. First, she understands that in our transit system, riders and workers are the key stakeholders. Reliability, safety, fair treatment, and responsiveness to needs for both of those groups drive her day-to-day approach to CTA, as well as her proposals to improve it over the long term. Second, she shows up not only as a leader of operations and strategy, but as chief public advocate for the service at L and bus stations, in engagement with the media, in her various arts and cultural enhancement initiatives, and most recently, through her advocacy for comprehensive, long-term financing out of Springfield. And third, she is committed to taking on the challenge of shifting the narrative of the CTA from a problem-plagued and even failing agency to an essential and valued service that the public uses, celebrates, and needs. It is this last value that I want to stress as I close. What I saw in President Learson years ago, still very much evident in her today, is the recognition that in seeking to become a great and good community, we will go so far as our dedication, effort, and most of all, our belief takes us. If we want trains and buses, schools, healthcare, and conditions of public safety that correspond to our stature as a world-class city, we have to expend the effort and make the hard choices to realize those outcomes. But we must also believe in the value of those operations in the first place. That means advocating for those that work in these systems, the public that use these systems, and in focusing civic vision on their potential for sustainable quality and success in both present and future. By now, President Learson has established a reputation as a leader who stands up for the CTA and for those that use and rely upon it. This is no act, given my experience of her over the years. She recognizes that a great and good Chicago can only be achieved through meaningful improvement of our core services. But those improvements, in turn, happen only through resources and investment, dedication and effort, and most of all, the belief that future improvement is possible and essential. I'm proud to count President Learson as a friend and excited to contemplate a Chicago in which her leadership helps us move toward the kind of community we wish to work in and thrive. Please join me in welcoming her to address us, ladies and gentlemen, Acting CTA President Nora Learson.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Professor Green. I invited Professor Green here today for a few reasons. One is honestly a personal one. I came to Chicago nearly 20 years ago to study history at the University of Chicago and was so fortunate to have him as a professor and a mentor. I was 25 years old, on the heels of years of public school teaching in underserved communities in Compton and Philadelphia. And I was young enough to have that kind of furious energy 20-somethings have, eager to investigate the historical roots of the poverty, segregation, and inequality I had witnessed in those years. So when I was named leader of this agency a year ago, one of the first things I did was sit down with Professor Green. I knew I needed to stay close to that 25-year-old version of myself that had a fire within her to be in the arena, influencing our policies to correct the wrongs of the past. Age and the grind of life can make us stray from that side of ourselves, and I wanted to make sure I stayed close to it. Another reason to have him here today is about the weight of this historical moment. He is a renowned historian of American cities and of Chicago especially, and the wisdom and work of historians within our midst must be front and center if we want to both avoid the missteps of the past and create the transformational change we look to achieve. You see, what I studied with him was the inner workings of local Chicago government in the 1960s. I wanted to understand the many dynamic influences that create our current realities. It can begin with the written law, but the law has to be implemented by human beings. And this is why I feel an immense responsibility being a person at the helm at this time. And this time is truly historic. I stand here unlike any other CTA leader before me, and not just because I am the first woman serving in this role. It is also because, as a region, we are embarking together on a new era for transit. So to be able to address you in this moment, to give you the latest on CTA and where we're headed and what we're committed to, is especially meaningful. So let's get into it. This presentation won't be full of a lot of stats and figures, but I need to start off with a few key ones. I've been shouting this from the rooftops for months now, but CTA is proud today to be fully staffed and running full service. This is the result of years of intensive hiring efforts that have resulted in massive increases in service delivery. After many years of a laser focus on hiring to support service, we are now able to have a fresh focus on how to excel in service delivery. As a bus and rail service serving 1 million members of the public every single day, our buses running on live streets and our trains running on sometimes over 100-year-old track, service can be disrupted. But our team, led by members of the CTA leadership team here with me today, together are some of the most dedicated, experienced folks in the industry, and it is their tireless work that is behind these numbers. Specifically on rail service, we have vastly improved. There are 150 more rail operators today compared to 2022, and December was the fifth consecutive month with a rail operating headcount at or above our pre-pandemic levels. Since the pandemic, ridership recovery has been driven by our bus service. Thanks to our expansive bus network, 96% of our service area is within a short walk of a bus stop. We invested heavily in growing our workforce, and today we are delivering 99% of our scheduled bus service. And with the frequent bus network, we're delivering nearly 30% more overall bus service than we were in 2022. In 2025, the CTA rebuilt, it grew, it engaged, and listened more than ever before. We completed a historic reconstruction of the busiest rail junction in our entire system, the interlocking at Tower 18, which will improve service speed for all trains traveling through the elevated loop. We completed the red and purple modernization phase one project, delivering four modern and fully accessible stations. These are not merely stations. They are absolutely breathtaking works of architectural achievement. And the series of events commemorating their opening this summer were some of the most moving, community-built celebrations in public transit I have ever seen. And last year, we began pre-construction work for the Red Line Extension, a project that is decades in the making, that will have seismic impact on the region. This investment will extend the Red Line over 5.5 miles south from 95th Street to 130th Street, adding four new modern accessible stations and drive development and economic growth to a community that has largely been cut off from these opportunities throughout our region's history. All of our service improvements and investments have made 2025 our highest ridership year since 2019. And customer satisfaction is on the rise. Surveys show that rider satisfaction continues to increase for the third year in a row, and is up 6 points since the fall of 2024, now at 77%. 2025 was a different kind of year at CTA for many reasons. I was driven by a vision that we deliver state-of-the-art transit service that is reliable, frequent, safe, and welcoming for all. To do this, we were guided by being dedicated to our performance, focused on people both internally and externally, centered in welcoming places, and rooted in new and dynamic partnerships. This approach has transformed our agency in many respects, and we're just getting started. While I am incredibly proud of the many capital and service milestones that we mentioned, I'm equally proud of another effort from 2025, our intentional campaign to engage with others, our riders, the communities we serve, and our employees in new and impactful ways. Our engagement approach in the past year has been unlike anything CTA has ever done before. It's been far-reaching and intentionally participatory. From day one, my top priority has been rebuilding trust in CTA leadership, and I've taken every opportunity to get out of the office and meet with riders and employees and hear their suggestions. They are the ones that drive much of our change and our success, and they will continue to. In less than 12 months, I attended more than 100 community meetings, public events, and field visits with frontline staff. I visited employees at every bus garage, every rail terminal, and every maintenance facility. CTA's management team hosted 20 never-before-held pop-up events. We call them CTA chats at rail stations and bus stops, engaging with thousands of riders by meeting them on the system where they are to hear their feedback. More than 6,000 riders completed our virtual survey on future planning. We also launched new communication channels and improved technology to better connect with customers and frontline employees. And we started CTA's first ever podcast titled Moving Experiences, which showcases the immense value of storytelling to inspire pride and love for public transit and for the CTA. Through this show, we've uplifted the stories of female leaders at CTA, of participants in our inspiring Second Chance program. We've welcomed local celebrities like Sherman Dilla Thomas and even interviewed Chicago icon Chance the Rapper about his connection to CTA and Chicago. CTA creates a setting for storytelling that is truly unmatched, and our podcast has taken off. Since its launch 10 months ago, our 5 episodes have been seen or heard over 4,500 times. And our latest episode featuring Chance is the most viewed video podcast episode by any American public transit agency ever. Thanks, Chance. In fact, over the past year, we've even adopted Chicago's urban historian Sherman Dilla Thomas a bit as part of our unofficial CTA family. Not only was he a guest on CTA's podcast, but he'll soon host a CTA employee-focused program for the second time, and we're exploring with him the possibility of creating a tour of the Red Line Extension area through his tour company, Chicago Mahogany Tours. We also created the CTA Rider Lab, where riders can test and offer feedback on new services and features to help fine-tune our service. Through this co-creation effort, we've been able to implement valuable feedback from riders on managing service disruption and improving the usability of our chatbot to hear from riders. As an example, right now we're working to reimagine our standard metal bus stop signs with inputs directly from our riders. For me, listening and engaging will be a mainstay of my leadership, because I know CTA can only be successful when transit service is reflective of and responsive to the people and communities we serve. What makes the success we had last year even more remarkable is that progress was made in the midst of tremendous uncertainty facing our regional transit system all year long. The structural deficit faced by CTA, Metra, PACE, and RTA could have led to the largest service cut in CTA's history, threatening to derail the progress we'd made in recent years. But in a looming crisis, as always, CTA flourished. This is without a doubt a result of the support of the CTA Transit Board, who shepherded us through trying and uncertain times. And I want to thank and acknowledge all of them who are with us here today. Mayor Brandon Johnson's support for transit and the communities we serve was also critical to CTA achieving the success it did this past year. Among the most rewarding experiences I've had in the past year was joining the Illinois legislative leadership, transit advocates, union leaders, many of the hardworking men and women of CTA, and so many other committed organizations and individuals on the journey towards securing transformative levels of funding for the Chicago region's three public transit service boards. During trips to Springfield to testify before the General Assembly and meet with legislators, and in many meetings and conversations with leaders here in Chicago, I engaged in frequent exchanges with the elected officials whom we all trusted to envision and make possible a new, better future for public transit. And they didn't just succeed. Because of them, we got through this without even one single layoff notice being issued, without even one service cut, and without ever going off the fiscal cliff. I look around this room and know that many of you lobbied for the funding that has secured CTA's future, and I want to thank you for your work, diligence, and willingness to support public transit. The CTA family is deeply thankful to State Representatives Evadina Delgado and Cam Buckner, former House Transportation Committee Chair Marty Moylan, State Senator Ram Villavalam, Senate President Don Harmon, Speaker of the House Chris Welch, and Governor J.B. Pritzker for what they've done for public transit. Our future is funded, and we could not be more grateful. The truth is, traditionally, transit can be an afterthought, taking a back seat to other major issues. But what I witnessed in Springfield over the months there was that transit finally got the spotlight it deserved. Though the outcome was uncertain at times, across so many levels of government, there was an historic level of interest and passion for our systems and how we run, and it bode well for our agencies as we received the funding to thrive. Today, CTA can and is planning for a new transit future. And I won't stop celebrating this anytime soon. Last month, I kicked off a series of gatherings throughout the agency called The Future is Funded to thank employees for their resilience and advocacy that brought us to this moment. For CTA, the time is now to go all in. This means we are all in for our riders and delivering frequent, safe, clean, and reliable service. We're all in for our employees, providing them support and investments to help them do their job safely and confidently every day. We're all in on infrastructure and programs to transform our communities, and we're all in on cementing our role as an economic engine. I want to emphasize at CTA, when we say we are all in, it is not just for our city, but for our entire region. The reality is CTA is by design a regional agency serving over 30 suburbs. So we have an expansive starting point upon which to build and thrive under this new structure. The new Northern Illinois Transit Agency Authority, or NITA, creates a tremendous opportunity for deeper regional coordination and collaboration, for more transparency and accountability across our systems, and for collective problem solving, and the resources to address some of the biggest transit challenges facing our region. At CTA, we are rolling up our sleeves and ready to advance this new regional approach. There is no shortage of innovative solutions and initiatives coming from every corner of the region, and we must work together as one to make them a reality. For CTA, that means now ideating, piloting, and testing new things so we can help enhance our collective impact. Going all in also means painting a picture of what a thriving transit environment looks like and working to bring all of those resources to our system. In surveys, workshops, advisory board meetings, and through employee feedback, we have heard that presence of people on our buses and trains is key. In 2025, we conducted a focus group with our riders regarding personal security. And a key finding was that CTA staff presence is an important driver of perceived safety on our system. Our greatest resources for enhancing the experience on CTA is the people working on our system. Bus and rail operators, customer service representatives, janitors, iron workers, signal engineers, mechanics, painters, farebox technicians, car servicers, just to name a few. And as I read that list, I am compelled to just take a moment and tell you a little bit about CTA employees. There is nobody like them. Transit work is noble, important, and dynamic work, and the commitment of our employees is profound. I have so many stories I could tell, but let me just tell one that is a little bit funny, but also just shows how much our employees care. Weeks into this role, I received a written letter, not an email, from a group of employees, specifically a group of janitors, who were concerned about a recent change in their cleaning supply regimen. You see, after some complaints about a strong bleach smell, changes had been made to the cleaning products to try to find a better solution. But the janitors were concerned, and they wanted me to know. They wanted the bleach back. In fact, they signed their letter anonymously as the bleachless janitors and asked in several thoughtful paragraphs for the change to be reconsidered in the name of Deeper Cleans. This has been addressed, and the bleach is back. But I will always remember that letter, and I have it on my desk, for its humor and its full-on commitment to the work that our employees bring to this system every day. We are over 11,600 employees strong, with key external partners working each day to create a transit environment that is fantastic on our vehicles and on our stations. And a thriving CTA environment is one that is full of support, a targeted visible police presence, station attendants to assist at the fare gates, cleaning staff to maintain a welcoming environment. And cleanliness of our system is a key focus in 2026. We know it comes up frequently when we talk with riders. This year, we're going to look at new ways to deploy our cleaning resources at different locations throughout the system. This will both help us to address cleanliness issues sooner, but also provide riders with the confidence that CTA is actively engaged in ensuring the system is maintained and clean at all hours of the day. All in also means addressing the issue of safety and security head on. When I speak with riders and employees, this is the issue raised most. But not only is it top of mind for our stakeholders, as a daily rider, and I've been on the system over 500 times just in 2025, and as a woman and a mother who often rides with her two young children, it's personal to me. While overall crime is down, we can't and won't stop doing so much more. The reality is that CTA is a dynamic, vast, and complex system. People forget this, but our doors are open 24 hours a day to the public, 7 days a week. With the exception of hospitals and emergency centers, few other institutions face that operational picture. And it comes with a massive responsibility and sometimes a challenging reality. CTA's vehicles and platforms are in many respects a stage upon which the city's greatest triumphs play out, while at the same time, yes, some of its tragedy. At CTA, we do not and cannot shy away from this. The resilience and expertise that comes with operating a live electrified railway with 146 stations, hundreds of miles of track, thousands of buses and trains moving at any given time, means we understand that complexity. And we know better than anyone that the security issues we face are not ones we can face alone. Over the past year, we have moved forward in never-before-seen ways to build partnerships and take notable steps forward. From my various seats at CTA over the past 11 years, I have always witnessed closely the partnership we share with the Chicago Police Department, and I can tell you that right now it is the strongest and most collaborative I have ever seen. Last year, we increased deployment of police officers through our voluntary special employment program system-wide, and officer activity increased across many categories. We have always agreed to share critical information to inform smart, targeted deployments. And in 2025, we initiated several unique initiatives out of this partnership. In July, CPD unveiled a revamped and expanded Strategic Decision Support Center devoted entirely to the CTA. The SDSC room has access to CTA's vast camera network and is used by officers assigned to the public transit section to conduct real-time monitoring of the system, as well as supporting detectives handling those cases. This initiative is about more than a room and cameras. It represents true partnership, leveraging our resources, technology, and expertise to have an eye on our entire vast system at all times. Together, we've used the data and employee and rider feedback we've gathered to execute targeted, strategic deployments more than ever before. In 2025, we launched code of conduct missions on the Blue Line, overnight coverage on the south end of the Red Line, and anti-smoking missions driven by rider feedback. We closely track the impact of this work, and what we have seen is that overall crime on the Blue Line was down 16% in 2025, and major crimes on the Red Line in the targeted stretch fell 15% in that year. The missions to combat smoking led to a 50% increase in ticketing by CPD last year. And after an increase in police resources just last month, CPD has recorded over 14,000 checks on CTA's system, a 22% increase over the same time last year. When it comes to security, we continuously seek new ways to improve. And today, I'm happy to announce just the latest new mission in our work with CPD. It's called the Transit Rider Interaction Program, or TRIP for short. As a part of these missions, a visible group of officers will line a platform for a period of time, checking in with the operators and getting on and off each train as it passes through to see if anything needs attention and to share smart travel tips with our riders. The officers will then ride to other stations and conduct the same engagement as trains pass through. This visible law enforcement presence will serve as a deterrent to crime, one of the key components of creating a safe environment on CTA. Similarly, on our buses, we are increasing and expanding the bus missions conducted by the police department. The location and timing of these efforts are informed by data, employee feedback, and rider input. And absolutely essential to the efforts will be coordination with our bus and rail unions. And I want to thank Keith Hill, president of ATU 241, and Penny McCoach, president of ATU 308, for their continued advocacy for their members and their input to strengthen these programs. We also know that safe transit demands other non-law enforcement resources, and we're doing more than ever on that front. Last year, CTA hosted its first ever Transit Community Safety Workshop, attended by more than 40 people across public health, transit advocacy, community safety, policing, and our union partners to inform a new pilot program called Safe Ride Specialists to assist those experiencing a mental health crisis on CTA. Just last week, over 60 agencies attended an information session CTA held about this initiative. That's just a testament to both the need for this work and the expertise available, and it's an honor for CTA to facilitate the interaction between these two groups. And we are excited to bring our knowledge and experience with this work to the table, as the NEDA bill calls for transit ambassadors to be implemented in 2027. This is very much my philosophy as we approach NEDA. CTA sits at a place where we can experiment and move initiatives so we arrive at NEDA with data, experience, and ideas to support the larger policy decisions NEDA will make. All in means we're delivering reliable service that gets riders where they want to go, when they want to go, and with a network they can count on. Today, 70% of Chicago residents live within just a short walk of our frequent network. Hundreds of thousands of riders are benefiting from the more frequent service, and we are seeing strong ridership returns. In some cases, double digits. And a phrase I kept using in Springfield and continue to use is, if you build it, they will come. Where you invest in transit, the ridership follows. In 2026, we look to add up to 6 more frequent bus routes to the network and look forward to engaging with our regional partners to select those routes in support of our larger regional network. In 2025, we extended bus routes and operated service later in order to provide improved transit connections and better connect transit riders with work, school, airports, and shopping. We're going to build on these successes and plan to continue to identify changes to our weekend, midday, evening, and late night bus service to respond to new travel patterns. While we continue to unlock new bus service offerings, we will work closely to monitor our current service and seek new opportunities to improve service reliability. In 2025, we sought to bust ghost buses. And in 2026, we're going to test even more strategies to further reduce instances of bus bunching and large gaps in service. While some of these are impacted by factors not directly in our control, we need to be vigilant about monitoring service internally to drive reliable, well-timed service to our customers. But adding more service to our bus routes and connections will only get us so far. To make significant improvements to bus reliability and performance, we also need to address bus infrastructure. Through NEDA and greater collaboration, I want to see our region become a leader in bus priority infrastructure. Right now, we are not. Right now, Chicago has only 13 miles of dedicated bus lanes, while New York has 140, San Francisco has 40, and Los Angeles has over 100. We just have to do more on this front. And I'm committed to working with our partners to take advantage of the massive opportunities that await us as a region on this. Customers traveling on a dedicated bus lane tell us they feel like celebrities on the red carpet, watching their bus speed past traffic. And surveys indicate that 77% of customers would ride the bus more if there were dedicated lanes. Our riders are asking for better bus travel, and now is the time to invest. Over the last decade, CDOT has been a great partner on bus priority infrastructure, like LoopLink, Jeffrey Jump, and bus priority zones along Western Avenue, Chicago Avenue, and 79th Street. Together, we've installed miles of bus lanes, over 140 stop bump outs and boarding islands, 115 intersections with transit signal priority, and over 300 rehab bus stops to support accessibility. In 2026, we plan to leverage $13 million in federal grants to invest in more bus priority zones. This will improve travel along 8 high travel corridors, which together deliver over 80,000 rides a day. We will also expand our automated bus lane enforcement cameras to identify and ticket vehicles parked illegally in bus lanes, bike lanes, and bus stops. We were excited to launch this last year, and data shows the program is both effective in deterring this illegal parking and it improves safety. In fact, 87% of drivers that received a warning never received a ticket for a repeat offense. This is working to support our bus service, so let's expand it. I realize you may be sitting there thinking that this is going to snarl traffic even more, but we know from research that's not the case. Argonne National Lab found that with a robust bus transit, rapid transit network and our ongoing bus service improvements, there'll be nearly a 10% increase in travel speeds for all users, cars and transit riders. Everyone benefits. We will also partner more closely with Metra, PACE, and RTA to identify missing or poor-performing transfer points and create more seamless connections to riders. For example, in 2025, we made changes to the number 84 Peterson route, which connects to the new Metra Peterson Ridge Station to ensure the bus frequency and hours of service align with when Metra trains are arriving. I know this is key as an indicator and symbol to riders of our network of the health of our systems and how well we are working together. This year, we're looking to make more of these changes throughout our expansive network at major transfer points in our communities like Jefferson Park, Midway, and 95th Street. I am pushing my team to look with fresh eyes at connections that may have been overlooked before. By connecting our agencies and providing clear information to customers on how to navigate between us, as a region, we will tap into a new ridership base and drive the economic engine of our agencies. I want to thank the RTA for bringing the research and analytical resources to help move this initiative forward and continuing to partner. And as our region grows, CTA will collaborate to grow with it. This includes regionally coordinated planning already underway, for example, for the Southeast Lakefront, to provide access to the Obama Presidential Center, the PsyQuantum Campus, and the new Advocate Trinity Hospital. A planning study funded by CMAP is underway to develop an updated service plan for this area, including integrating the CTA Green and Red Lines with PACE bus service and the Metro Electric District and South Shore Lines. This is just one example of the spirit of regional planning and coordination that is just going to grow. And to complement our big investment in our bus system, we have to go all in on building and enhancing the CTA rail system for the future. I'm excited to share our vision for the Forest Park branch of the Blue Line. I regularly ride this line, and I know firsthand how brutal the slow zones can be, due to tracks being nearly 70 years old. When I'm not on this line, I'm on the Green Line, often encountering riders saying they're on the Green Line because the Blue Line was too slow. Just as strong service will attract riders, weaker service can drive them away. And we need to build a plan that will attract the massive amount of potential that this corridor has for new and return ridership with a better trip. This branch needs significant new station and track infrastructure, but it also deserves a vision for investment that boosts economic development and opportunity, drives better mobility, and links communities that have been historically disconnected due to the interstate. We kicked off this work with the Racine Station rebuild, which we completed in the first phase of 2025, and track replacement of the UIC Halstead Street to the Illinois Medical District. Customers are now seeing faster speeds along this section of the branch, but there is so much more to do. The work to modernize and improve this corridor is too important and too consequential to be done in silos, and I'm honored to be part of a partnership with the Illinois Department of Transportation Secretary Gia Biaggi and the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning Director Aaron Aleman. Our unified effort will transform the I-290 and Forest Park corridor, inclusive of both the Blue Line and the Eisenhower Expressway. And the sky is the limit in terms of this initiative, as it will be seen under NEDA. And in our 2026 budget, we created a new office of dedicated staff at CTA. I called it a first-of-its-kind Blue Line Modernization Office, which will have staff entirely dedicated to planning, design, and community outreach to support the infrastructure needed to enhance this corridor. We know from past funding successes that a key step in demonstrating commitment to work, even before it's fully funded, is through dedicated staff. So I knew we needed to move the ball forward with attention on this issue. Well, thanks. While we like to think big when it comes to infrastructure, we know the details count too. And small things can have a big impact on making travel easier and more enjoyable. This past summer, I traveled with transportation leaders from across the Midwest to Paris, France. Now I'm joining the discussion of people traveling to Europe and coming back with transit ideas. I met with their transit agency leadership and transportation planners. If you haven't followed the achievements Paris has made in the past 20 years, it's astonishing. The city has essentially transformed itself. People are swimming in the Seine River. They've replaced parking with bike lanes at a massive scale, and they've saturated city spaces with green space. What has resulted is a recorded 55% decrease in fine particulate matter in the air since 2005. I want to bring a little bit of Paris to CTA by adding more green space and rethinking and improving parking and bike infrastructure system-wide. And another notable observation of Paris, they have a unique focus on supporting children and play. They've shut down entire city blocks and turned them into play spaces, dotted with furniture and benches, especially sized for children. When I saw this, I knew we had to have it at CTA. This year, we'll be moving forward with the installation in select stations of child-sized furniture to support our youngest and cutest riders. To me, supporting children in our system is investing in our future and building the next generation of CTA riders. And frankly, children bring out the best in us. I was also inspired to do this by CTA's most famous customer service assistant, Janet Martin, who is known as the Mayor of Armitage in honor of her decades of service at CTA. Upon her retirement from CTA, at a party thrown by the neighborhood for her, Janet talked about watching nannies bring children to just sit and watch the trains, and how beautiful she found that to be. This is the sentiment about CTA that inspires us all, and I want to cultivate that in all we do. I'm so excited about this that I brought a prototype with me here today. This is Manny's Vanna White moment. Here is a CTA homemade example of the kind of child-inspired furniture you will soon see dotted around the system. Beyond infrastructure, All In is also a commitment to how we show up for our communities. We recognize the role we play as a hub in our neighborhoods and as a connector for our great city. We are doubling down on this aspect of our service through policy and programs that deliver for our people in new and expanded ways. We also added new artwork to our dynamic and diverse collection of public art featured at stations and bus facilities. It showcases the creativity of our city, and we hope it sparks joy and uplifts the spirit of our riders as they go about their travels. And in 2026, we will continue to invest in initiatives that elevate our spaces at CTA to their full potential. We've begun conversations with Chicago's own three-time Grammy Award-winning poet, spoken word artist, songwriter, and author, Jay Ivey, to explore a potential partnership that connects his artistry with CTA to combine the best of both the CTA supportive campaign riders will enjoy. And this is just the beginning. CTA has long supported equitable transit-oriented development policy, or ETOD. Now we are expanding our ETOD capabilities by hiring a dedicated team to help prioritize investments and policies that place transit at the front end of new developments. This team will also seek out opportunities to activate our rail stations in new ways, like expanding our public art program to include performing artists so our stations can reflect the vibrancy and diversity of our communities. Make no mistake about it, art is part of what got this transit bill passed. You may not know this, but the Second City put on a show called Save Chicago Transit Comedy Show last year, organized by Ellen Steinke, who is with us here today, with her group called Funny You Should Care. I was bowled over by the level of preparation and dynamic advocacy behind executing those shows. And I had the absolute joy of joining the show one night alongside Representative Mary Beth Canty. As an alum of the Second City Training Program myself, watching this iconic Chicago art form of comedy and improv be used to raise awareness about the importance of transit was awe-inspiring. And they're not done, by the way. Ellen let me know she's kicking off another run at Second City titled Safe Streets, the comedy show. Keep an eye out for the work on this, as it is clearly having an impact. I can tell you this, if we go all in together, Chicago's future will be bright. Chicago will lead the nation in affordability, fueled by an accessible, affordable transit network. Loop office occupancy will rebound, powered by easy-to-use, reliable transit. CTA stations will be community hubs with vibrant art and local performance. The Chicago region's ETOD portfolio will be a model that the rest of the nation emulates. And Chicago will boast vibrant, equitable, walkable communities throughout the city. That includes all of you here in this room, the business and civic community. Our all-in vision is a blueprint, but it is not a mandate. It is a starting point, but it will only succeed if we build it in partnership. So I ask you today, will you join me? Will you join the CTA, our riders, our transit advocates, all the employers and employees who rely on transit? Will you join us in going all in for transit? If so, I invite you to take a ride on a CTA bus or train with me to discuss our future. All year, CTA will be hosting ride-alongs with leaders like you who want to see our vision in action. And for those of you who want to share your ideas to make the CTA the exceptional transit service our region deserves. If you're all in, you can send an email to allin@transitchicago.com or drop your business card in the bowl on your way out. And we'll get you on a bus or train soon with me. In closing, CTA is many things all at once. We are strong and thriving even amidst adversity. And I'll close with a quick story. I mentioned our partnership with Chance earlier. As a part of this, we invited him and his fans onto a ride on the Red Line from downtown to 95th Street Station. And yes, there was celebration and singing and dancing the whole way, CTA's employees included. What resulted was a kind of performance art, elevating the inside of CTA trains in a way that was intangible but so powerful. Using the inside of a CTA rail car to celebrate true pride in our city, in our shared stories, and in creating experiences together. And by the way, this wasn't the only party we threw at 95th Street this year. We also held an event at the station to celebrate CTA's 77th birthday. And we all actually danced together, employees and riders, on a Friday afternoon as riders passed by on their commutes. Some were a little confused, but everyone was happy. We can celebrate, and we can aim for more, all at the same time. I will never forget watching Chance record the station announcements that would permeate CTA's airwaves. Hearing him create a recording saying he loved CTA, using the word love, saying with pride that he'd grown up using it, was one of the most powerful moments I have ever seen while at this agency. I don't need a survey or a focus group to know that hearing that in the morning on the way to school made school children sit up a little straighter with pride and joy about who they are, about where they're from, about Chicago, and about CTA. The CTA can bring that kind of emotion like truly nothing else can, and I will not let up on celebrating that. I feel very strongly about this aspect of unapologetic deep pride in our agency and what it means to people, the health of our region, and to our future. When you believe in CTA, you believe in the best of us all. Thank you.
That was awesome. Are you mic'd or not? That's all right. Perfect. Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Thank you all. What a comprehensive, phenomenal presentation. And Nora, you know, I watch you closely and the CTA closely. You are just doing a magnificent job. So thank you very, very much. It's funny, the late Judy Bartopinka, who I sat next to in the state Senate for a while, would say, if you want the job done right, give it to a mom. She'll have the vision and the drive to do it right. And as someone who has ridden the CTA since I was 3 days old with my grandparents and my parents, I love this idea of the child's seats. I would have loved to have had it when I was a little kid, but I just think it sends a tremendous, tremendous message. And then the last comment before we take a couple of questions, or Nora does, the bleach story. I think that is fabulous. CTA employees are wonderful. You should have seen them testify. You'd be so proud of them in Springfield. But when I was in college, I was the president of my fraternity house, and I told our people, hey, go back to the pine saw because it covers the smell of the beer. So I get that story very, very, very much. Real quickly, just a couple of big issues, and you touched on some. So where does the red line extension stand these days? And the federal government's issue, I believe, on that was diversity programs. But where do you think the red line extension stands?
Sure. Thanks, Kirk. We're full speed ahead on the red line extension.
Good.
The CTA is fully committed to that project. We are in an exchange with the federal government regarding certain requirements around it. We've been fully responsive, and we're hopeful to have a resolution soon. The changes you referenced there that are the topic of some of our exchanges are affecting industries across infrastructure. So we're working a lot with our partners on adjusting to changes in rules. We're confident we're going to get to a solution and move forward without any hiccups.
Thank you. As Professor Green will attest again, you know, it's a matter of an underserved community that has been promised that for 50 years, and it is a economic equalizer for the South Side, for the Deep South Side, I will put it that way. Bus electrification, at my board meetings, and it's got to be the same as yours, obviously some tremendous advocates on behalf of clean air. Where are you, where's the CTA on bus electrification? Can you get enough buses? Are there enough American manufacturers of these? And tell us kind of some of the issues that are there with bus electrification.
We remain fully committed to full electrification. We issued a program around that in the recent years, and that remains our commitment. What you're referencing, Kirk, as many people in the industry know, is the industry is having trouble keeping up with the demand. And so the production of buses is not able to keep up with all of these agencies like us that are committed and eager to go fully electric. But our commitment there remains. We will adjust as needed in the interim. We were incredibly excited to receive an historic amount of a federal grant just last month to receive hybrid buses that still continue to improve air quality and move us significantly in a better direction away from our old dirty diesel buses. So we're moving forward. We've got new funding on that front. It's another example of an industry-wide issue where we can all partner together, put pressure to get more suppliers, more access, so that we can all achieve that goal that we want.
You know, I know Governor Pritzker is a massive leader on electrification, so use him and use the Illinois Economic Development Council too, or corporation, on bus electrification issues. Public safety, you did a great job touching on it in the paper yesterday with respect to homelessness in the city of Chicago. And Nora pointed out the CTA, the doors are open 24 hours a day. Homelessness was triple what they thought it was in Chicago. And, you know, they estimate we have 58,000 homeless individuals. How many, and I know the mayor is a great advocate and partner for this, how many of the incidents sometimes that we call security-related do you believe are really issues with mental health?
Well, I don't have an exact number for you, Kirk, but I think the reason you're asking the question is because we know these issues are interrelated around people that are unhoused, people that are suffering from mental illness, closure of mental health clinics, drug addiction. It's all layered on CTA, and you can kind of track the effectiveness of social service on these issues if you look at what CTA and transit agencies experience. They're definitely related. This is why, you know, it's very new. I know I said a lot was new last year, but it truly was. It's very new for us to be intentionally engaged as an entity with getting proposals for crisis response on CTA with mental health professionals. We know we need to be at the table talking about that because it's absolutely a component of the issues that we see on our system. And it's a highly skilled set of expertise to walk through a situation like that. And our employees are operating trains and buses. They're cleaning stations. And the reality is they're having to confront too many complex situations on their own. So we need to bring more resources to the table. And it's easy to kind of just say that, but when you know CTA, you know how complex the operational picture is. These pilots are critically important because it comes down to the details of who makes the call, who do they call, how quickly does the person come, where do you go in the meantime before the person calls, have you stopped service during that time? It's very complex. So we're really deeply engaged in that. I'm excited to see what comes out of that. As I mentioned, NITA has a transit ambassador program that's going to be really interesting to see come together. And the ambassador concept, I think people have different ideas of what an ambassador does depending on who you're talking to. It could be customer service. It could be crisis intervention. It could be public safety. So this information we're going to get about this particular crisis intervention specialist, the safe ride specialist, is going to be key to contributing to that discussion.
No, absolutely. Speaking of the news, and this is a great story, and it's great, and Commissioner of Aviation McMurray will be here in about a week. Chicago's O'Hare Airport is now the busiest airport once again in America. That's a plus for the city of Chicago. Have you seen a difference in ridership getting on at O'Hare when visitors come from all over the United States? Many of them do jump on, the blue line to get downtown because it's an economical way. Has ridership changed much at O'Hare?
It's always strong at O'Hare because CTA is the best way to get to O'Hare. And everybody knows that. We have strong ridership at O'Hare, Kirk. We track it closely. It certainly will coincide with better usership of the airport in general. You know, our airports are an incredible strength in our region. This is one of the reasons, one of the first things I talked about when the transit bill passed, because I wanted to give people a tangible example of what more service means. We said, we're going to run 24-hour service to Midway Airport on the Orange Line, to give it that equal sense of constant accessibility by employees and travelers to access those airports. And that's going to be phenomenal to see 24-hour access to both of our airports thriving on CTA.
Amen. Amen. Got time for one more question, and I think it's pretty obvious, but I'll put it in two ways. Number one, when you were at the CTA before, but have you learned anything or seen anything since you've become the interim president that you didn't expect when you got there? And secondly, this is it's a softball question. Obviously, do you enjoy the job?
I love the job. CGA is the easiest thing to be inspired by. And I know I'm not alone in feeling that. Not everybody gets to work at a place where you're sitting at your desk, but that train that you're working to support is rumbling past you in this awe-inspiring, massive way. We see our work on display constantly, and we see the impact of it. And we're lucky to have that opportunity as people at CTA. And the year was so full with challenges and opportunities. So it's been an incredible year, and it's an incredible job. Something that surprised me, I think, not necessarily surprised, but a reminder, just stick to what you mean and say it, and that goes a long way. And I came in the middle of the Springfield buildup and just showed up and said things I really meant about what transit meant. I think people sometimes think bills get passed for other reasons. But if you show up and just showcase CTA and the value it has and you mean it, it goes a long way. So stick to things you believe, be yourself, bring whatever you bring to the table, and it really goes a long way.
Oh, absolutely. You've done a great job. Just a couple of reminders before we depart today, and I go get the 156 bus with Stella Black back to work and my staff at the RTA. Some upcoming programs. President Tony Preckwinkel, no stranger to this club whatsoever, is here in the upcoming days. I mentioned Commissioner of Aviation Mike McMurray, also no stranger in his previous days at White & Company, is coming to speak here in O'Hare, obviously massive economic engine for Chicago. We also have Gia Biagi, the Illinois Secretary of Transportation, will be here very, very soon. Great partner. I love all of Illinois, but I've always thought for mass transit purposes, it's always great to have an Illinois Secretary of Transportation that understands the city of Chicago and the urban area congestion, and Gia is a tremendous partner with the CTA and us in mass transit. And then last but not least, coming up in a couple of weeks is the Honorable Valerie Jarrett, who is the CEO of the Obama Library. So some great programs coming here. Dan Gibbons would kick me if I didn't mention on your table, if you're not a member, here's a little QR code. Join the City Club. This is, and I was telling Professor Green, in an environment in America where we are sometimes at each other's throats politically, this is the one place you can come with all different kinds of views in a civil manner, discuss the biggest issues facing our region. So if you're not a member of the City Club, please join us. I thank you for being here, and Nora, tremendous, tremendous presentation. Thank you and the CTA employees for everything you do. Really appreciate it. We're adjourned.